The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity, and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Oh, hello, and welcome to a Thursday. I'm Nicole Sandler. Coming to you live at 3 Eastern at NicoleSandler.com and wherever else you may be. So YouTube, TuneIn, you know, and who knows who's carrying the show live. I don't even know. And, of course, we're at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Progressive Voices Network, on a few other internet radio channels like Netroots Radio and FYI Nation and Air Progressive and a few others. And, of course, we're always available via podcast at NicoleSandler.com or wherever you get your podcasts from. I invite you to share it with anyone else who might be interested. So, So it's Thursday. And this has been just the week from hell. Yesterday, I said after, you know, Donald Trump sort of shocked everyone by looking up to the heavens and proclaiming,
"I am the chosen one."
Yeah, that he's certifiable. I know what he's chosen for. He belongs outside of the Oval Office, to be nice about it. And yesterday I said, you know, now, if ever there was a time for the 25th Amendment, it's now. Problem is, and a few people tweeted to me about it, the 25th Amendment is really not realistic. So Doogie, radio pro, tweeted, "The vice president and a majority of cabinet secretaries must decide the president is, quote, unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office. Then simply put that down in writing and send that to the Speaker of the House and the Senate's president pro tem. Then the vice president would take charge." And then he said, "I don't see, you know, Pence doing that." But on top of that, if the president wants to dispute this move of someone, the vice president or a cabinet member, proclaiming that he is incapable of fulfilling the role of president, the president can object to that. Then it would be up to Congress to settle the matter with a vote. A two-thirds majority in both houses would be necessary to keep the vice president in charge. If that threshold isn't reached, the president would regain his powers. So, yeah, the 25th Amendment is not going to work. Might I suggest that once the Democrats get back control and hopefully get a veto-proof majority in both houses of Congress, that they do a number of things. One is fix the 25th Amendment so it is possible to remove an insane president because we have one now who doesn't belong in office. Next, they need to redo the Electoral College and or get rid of it. Forget about redoing it. Get rid of it. And, and say the winner of the popular vote is the president. You know, there's a bunch more things they can do. But the bottom line is I wasn't alone in feeling sort of helpless that the president is fucking insane and belongs nowhere near the White House, let alone sitting behind the Resolute desk in the Oval Office. So, I don't know. Today's Thursday. Howie Klein is here. We'll talk politics with him. We've got the news coming up, a lot to talk about. But as usual, you know, I like to start with something funny because things get so serious and I have a bunch of serious things to talk to you about today. So, for the funny today, we're going to go to Netflix. there's a recent Netflix special by a comedian named John Mulaney. And what's so brilliant about this bit I'm about to play for you is that obviously he's talking about Donald Trump, but he never says the man's name. But the scenario he lays out is the perfect analogy for this administration. All right, so with no further ado, take it away, John Mulaney.
Now, I don't know if you've been following the news, but I've been keeping my ears open, and it seems like everyone, everywhere, is super mad about everything all the time. I try to stay a little optimistic, even though I will admit things are getting pretty sticky. Here's how I try to look at it, and this is just me. This guy being the president, it's like there's a horse loose in a hospital. It's like there's a horse loose in a hospital. I think eventually everything's gonna be okay, but I have no idea what's gonna happen next. And neither do any of you, and neither do your parents, because there's a horse loose in the hospital. It's never happened before. No one knows what the horse is gonna do next, least of all the horse. He's never been in a hospital before. He's as confused as you are. There's no experts. They try to find experts on the news. They're like, we're joined now by a man that once saw a bird in the airport. It's like, get out of here with that shit. We've all seen a bird in the airport.
Yeah.
This is a horse loose in a hospital. When a horse is loose in a hospital, you gotta stay updated. So all day long, you walk around, oh, what'd the horse do? What'd the horse do? The updates, they're not always bad. Sometimes they're just odd.
Okay.
You're like, the horse used the elevator.
See, was that a context before? Right?
I didn't know he knew how to do that. The creepiest days are when you don't hear from the horse at all.
Oh, yeah.
You're down in the operating room like, hey, has anyone, has anyone heard? Those are those quiet days when people are like, it looks like the horse has finally calmed down. And then 10 seconds later, the horse is like, I'm gonna run towards the baby incubators and smash him with my hooves. I got nice hooves and a long tail, I'm a horse. And it's like, oh, that's what I thought you'd say, you dumb fucking horse. And then, then you go to brunch with people and they're like, there shouldn't be a horse in the hospital. And it's like, we're well past that. And then other people are like, well, if there's going to be a horse in the hospital, I'm going to say the N-word on TV. And it's like, those don't match up at all. And then for a second, it seemed like maybe we could survive the horse. And then 5,000 miles away, a hippo was like, I have a nuclear bomb, and I'm gonna blow up the hospital. And before we could say anything, the horse was like, if you even fucking look at the hospital, I will stomp you to death with my hooves. I dare you to do it. I want you to do it. I want you to do it so I can stomp you with my hooves. I'm so fucking crazy. And he's like, you think you're fucking crazy? I'm a fucking hippopotamus. I live in a fucking lake of mud. I'm fucking crazy. And all of us are like, okay, 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 okay. Like poor Andy Cohen at those goddamn reunions. Okay, 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 okay,
that one,
okay, okay.
Don't get it.
And then for a second, we were like, maybe the horse catcher will catch the horse. And then the horse is like, I have fired the horse catcher. He can do that? That shouldn't be allowed no matter who the horse is. I don't remember that in Hamilton.
Oh, I don't remember that in Hamilton either. The brilliance of comedian John Mulaney's great analogy, right? A horse is loose in the hospital. We've never experienced it before. We know, we figure things will be okay in the long run, but we have no idea what to expect between now and when it finally ends. It's just really quite perfect. Yeah, the horse is loose in the hospital. And I think yesterday it took a giant shit all over the pharmacy or something. I don't know how you make that analogy even more worser. But it's insane. Things are insane right now. And I want to fill you in. We're going to get right into the news because there's a lot of stuff going on. And we're going to start with the Democratic Party. The DNC right now is meeting. Today, the DNC's Resolutions Committee met in San Francisco. And I believe the Democratic Party is bound and determined to alienate every progressive activist working so hard to change things for the better. Seriously. Today, the question of whether or not the Democrats should hold a climate-specific presidential debate was on the docket, and things got a little contentious. Because here's the thing. Party leadership, it always works out this way, party leadership is strongly against the idea, with DNC Chair Tom Perez insisting it would be unfair to focus a debate on any single issue. Obviously, people got up on both sides of the subject and were heard. The room was filled with a lot of young people from, I think they're called the Sunrise Movement. They're the ones behind the Green New Deal, the original Green New Deal. They were making some noise. I'll tell you, in a really sort of Twilight Zone-ish opposite world kind of moment, Simone Sanders spoke. Simone Sanders, for those of you who don't remember, was tapped by Bernie Sanders in 2016 to be her press secretary. After that mess that happened at Netroots Nation, when Black Lives Matter got up and interrupted him and it was an ugly situation, somehow Simone Sanders met Bernie Sanders and he wound up hiring her after that. I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. But my initial reaction at the time was, are you kidding me? Simone Sanders, I knew Simone Sanders because at the time I was doing a lot of segments on my program dealing with the Trans-Pacific Partnership and trade. And so I used to have somebody that has been on the show a number of times, Lori Wallach from Public Citizen. This is her specialty. And Simone Sanders was her assistant. And she was a bitch. I mean, usually when I deal with an assistant to schedule things, they're very nice, very easy to deal with. This woman was the bitch from hell. I'm telling you, it's like, ugh, I'd love to have Lori Wallach on, but I really don't want to have to deal with Simone Sanders. And then she gets the job as Bernie Sanders' press secretary on his 2016 campaign. Needless to say, I was kind of apoplectic about it. But again, I have no say in any of it, so it was. And now Simone Sanders is a senior advisor to Joe Biden. What? Sorry, but Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders are about as far apart as two candidates in the same party could be. But anyway, Simone Sanders is a DNC member, and she argued that holding a climate debate, quote, would fundamentally change the game of what the campaigns had been told about the debate rules. Rewriting those rules now would be, quote, dangerous territory in the middle of a Democratic primary process, end quote. Now, Joe Biden, according to, I think this is from the Washington Post, has previously called for a climate debate, but Simone Sanders noted that she was on the committee speaking for herself and not as a campaign representative. Hey, Simone Sanders, I got a song for you. Fuck you, fuck you very, very much. Yeah. You see, as I mentioned earlier, the room was filled with young protesters, many of them affiliated with the climate group Sunrise Movement. And when the vote came down, I forget what it was, the 30-member Resolutions Committee defeated a resolution calling specifically for a climate-focused debate. Does it say what the vote was here? I thought it did, but I don't see it. No, I don't know what the final number was, but they defeated it. And so the young people, the protesters from the Sunrise Movement, they also burst into song. It wasn't my song of choice for Simone Sanders, but they started singing this.
Which side are you on now? Which side are you on? Which side are you on now? Which side are you on? Stay in Harlan County. There are no neutrals there. You're either be a union man or fight for J.H. Ware. Which side are you on now? Which side are you on?
All right. So that, you know, this is happening at Democratic Party meetings. Now, the rank and file say they're going to bring up the subject at the general membership meeting, which is happening Saturday again. But, you know, once again, you got the DNC chairman, Tom Perez, poo-pooing it. And, of course, Simone Sanders. And, hey, you know what Simone Sanders says. Now, on the other side, there are both CNN and MSNBC are holding forums in September dealing with climate. The CNN one is on September 4th. The MSNBC one is going to be later in the month. But, again, if the DNC has rules on all the candidates being on the stage at the same time debating anything, saying that they will be sanctioned or won't be allowed in the further official debates, then obviously they can't do it that way. So what, are they going to have everyone on the stage for, you know, 5 minutes to give their views on climate change and what we should do about it? That's not the way to go. By the way, Bernie Sanders today introduced his own Green New Deal, which is pretty comprehensive. I've been trying to get Bernie back on the show. No luck lately. But, you know, I'll keep trying. Hopefully he'll come back on. But so this group, all these kids and the protesters were in San Francisco because that's where the Democratic Party is having these meetings. Well, Nancy Pelosi last night was being given an award, like a, you know, San Francisco Lifetime Achievement Award or something. Howie Klein, who's going to join us in a little while, he tweeted out something about it. And he ascribed it to something that she... basically an award she gave to herself. And, you know, I wouldn't doubt it. I don't know that that's exactly what it is. I'm looking for Howie's tweet as we speak, and I don't see it at the moment. But anyway, she was being honored last night. She was speaking, and all of a sudden, people in the room, it was a dinner, you know, so they were spread out at tables. People started standing up on their chairs, unfurling tapestries with the phrase, "We can't wait," and they were chanting, "Which side are you on, Pelosi? Impeach." And here's a little bit of the interruption of Nancy Pelosi's award-getting ceremony. So Nancy Pelosi's up on the stage, and we have activists on standing on stairs. And Nancy's just talking. Sounds like fun, doesn't it? So Nancy Pelosi is trying to talk over the protesters who are shouting her down while she's up there speechifying about something. And then the Nancy Pelosi supporters in the room started holding up these posters of, you know, the Rosie the Riveter poster, "We Can Do It," with Nancy Pelosi's face superimposed on Rosie the Riveter's, but it just is wrong on so many fronts, wrong. And they started shouting, "Pelosi," or "Nancy Pelosi," whatever they were, you know. And the activists, again, who had been initially seated quietly in the audience, started shouting, "Impeach Trump now." And then the woman, who I think was just on this video that you heard the audio, screamed into the packed room that her people are being killed by white supremacists across the country. She demanded from action from Pelosi. Another activist said, "We are your constituents." Pelosi supporters tried to drown out the activists by chanting, "Let her speak," and all that. So that happened in San Francisco last night, too. The bottom line behind that protest, the point that I'm trying to make in telling you the story, and thanks to the listener who sent me that article last night, otherwise I wouldn't have known it happened, is that, you know, while the media is trying to steer everyone away from impeachment talk, I believe the sentiment is strong to get this madman, sick individual out of the White House. Now, I know impeachment might not remove him from office, but it should hinder him at least a little bit, because the man, I hate to use the word unhinged, because he's never been hinged. There's nothing that has ever been normal or I don't even know what words to use anymore in describing him. There's nothing normal about the man, and I never thought I'd be one to embrace normality, but we do need some normalcy. Normality? Normalcy? I don't know. All right, let's tell some other news before we get to Howie Klein. Guns are in the news today. No, thankfully, there wasn't another mass shooting overnight, at least not one that was horrific enough to generate news coverage, God forbid. But it's not due to the lack of trying. Police said a mass shooting was probably averted after a California hotel worker was arrested following a tip-off that he had threatened to shoot colleagues and customers. 37-year-old guy was arrested at his home in Huntington Beach after another employee at the Marriott Hotel in Long Beach, where he worked, raised the alarm. Officers saying that the warning likely saved lives because police seized high-powered weapons and hundreds of rounds of ammunition at this guy's house, all illegal in California. The police chief said that he had clear plans, intent, and the means to carry out an act of violence. But that was just one. At least 27 people have been arrested over threats to commit mass attacks since the two shootings in El Paso and Dayton a couple of weeks ago. 28 now. A significant number of these threats have come from teenagers making violent promises from the perceived anonymity of the internet. But several more credible threats were racially motivated. A 35-year-old man was arrested in Seattle after threatening to kill people and calling for the extermination of Hispanics. And a self-described white nationalist threatened to attack an Ohio area Jewish center. After the two shootings earlier this month, the FBI announced it would ask agency offices nationwide to conduct new threat assessments to hopefully thwart more mass attacks. The agency said in a statement it was concerned extremists would see the attacks as an opportunity to engage in similar acts of violence. America, where you could get shot down on any street corner in the USA. Yeah. As you may know, you should know by now, I live in Coral Springs, Florida. We're right next door to Parkland. Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School is one of the four high schools that serves my community. Well, the Parkland kids are back. Yesterday, they introduced a new peace plan. Reuters has the details.
We demand a change. We demand a change.
Survivors of the Parkland, Florida school shooting, who started the National March for Our Lives campaign, are rolling out their own plan to curb gun violence. The group's leaders released a sweeping proposal on Wednesday that includes banning assault-style rifles, declaring gun violence a national emergency, and starting a national gun buyback and disposal program. The plan comes weeks after the back-to-back shootings in El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio that killed 31 people. Those shootings prompted President Donald Trump to consider supporting stronger background checks for gun buyers, a position he had backed away from in recent days. On Wednesday, Trump defended himself against accusations from Democrats that he was bowing to pressure from the NRA.
We have background checks, but there are loopholes in the background checks. And that's what I spoke to the NRA about yesterday. They want to get rid of the loopholes as well as I do. At the same time, I don't want to take away people's Second Amendment rights. I don't want to take away the Constitution.
Trump gave similar signs of support for gun measures in the aftermath of the Parkland massacre, which killed 17 people, but he never followed through.
We're going to get it done.
On Wednesday, the NRA quickly condemned the Parkland students' proposal as an attack on the Second Amendment.
All right, enough of that. So for more information on the peace, what are they calling it, the peace plan, go to marchforourlives.com. By the way, Nancy Pelosi announced earlier this week that she'd be calling the House Democratic Caucus back into session early to deal with guns. They have a hearing on gun violence scheduled for the Judiciary Committee for September 4th. So that's the day that allegedly Pelosi is calling the House back in session, or at least the Democrats of the House back in session. They were originally scheduled to return on September 9th. Wow, Nancy, 5 whole days early. Way to step up. Ugh. All right. Hey, we have a song, another song. Yep, this time, Jay Inslee, governor of Washington, pulled out of the race for the Democratic presidential nomination last night, saying, "It has become clear I'm not going to be carrying the ball. I'm not going to become president." He did it on Rachel Maddow's show last night. And today, Jay Inslee announced he will run for a third term as governor of the state of Washington. And that's good. John Hickenlooper, of course, withdrew last week. He announced today that he will run for the Senate from Colorado, challenging the vulnerable incumbent Republican Cory Gardner. And former Congressman Joe Walsh, you know, the deadbeat dad, he's a real piece of shit. The one redeeming quality he has is that he's a never-Trumper, and he calls Trump out on his shit. Well, now Joe Walsh is saying that he's seriously considering primarying Trump. Now, he'd never beat him, but maybe he could injure him a little bit, in which case, I never thought I'd praise Joe Walsh, but, you know, the Joe Walsh that doesn't play guitar, but there you go. And one last story, what's probably the most devastating news today and for a long time, and it goes to, you know, the DNC saying no climate-specific debate. Vast fires are ravaging the Amazon. And many are blaming this new right-wing president, Jair Bolsonaro, and his environmental policies. Brazil's space agency said this week that nearly 73,000 fires had broken out across the Amazon rainforest since the start of the year, imperiling one of the planet's last refuges of biodiversity and raising concerns about the region's ability to combat climate change amid a rollback of environmental protections by the country's far-right leader. Bolsonaro, by the way, is blaming his political opponents, saying they are burning down the Amazon to discredit him. He obviously is Trump-like in that he's removing all protections, all environmental protections. Scientists, by the way, are warning that losing another fifth of Brazil's Amazon will trigger the feedback loop known as dieback. What is dieback, you ask? It's when the forest begins to dry out and burn in a cascading system collapse beyond the reach of any subsequent human intervention or regret. That's the official definition. It's catastrophic. We are in a global emergency, and the Democratic Party is, well, we're not going to do a debate on climate change. It's just one subject. All right, one more story, and it goes to, you know, last week I coined the term brag lying about Trump's, you know, record-breaking mendacity, but today we have a new moniker for some of his disturbing vocalizations, I guess we can call them. We'll call this one Jew-splaining. Yes, the Orange Menace claimed that Jewish Americans are ill-informed about policy when they support overwhelmingly Democrats. Trump added that they're disloyal to Israel and fellow Jews for opposing his presidency.
Jewish people that vote for a Democrat, I think it shows either a total lack of knowledge or great disloyalty.
Yeah, and he later on clarified, yes, disloyalty to Israel and other Jews. Hey, Trump, we're not loyal to Israel. Donald Trump, it's inconceivable that he could be this fucking stupid. But, Dump and his minions have their work cut out for them. 71% of Jewish voters sided with Hillary Clinton over Trump in 2016, and the Democrats' advantage among that group jumped to 79% in the 2018 midterms. Retweeting noted white supremacists and claiming extraordinary powers likely won't help his cause. But just when you thought you'd hit rock bottom, Trump surfaces again with a message from further down below. This week's not even over yet, but he's on a roll with a never-ending supply of controversial and contradictory statements like,
I am the chosen one.
Yeah, right. So Trump's messianic delusions began earlier in the week when he thanked and retweeted a conspiracy theorist for describing him as being like the king of Israel and saying Jews love him like the second coming of God. And just in case it's not already clear, I know I said it yesterday, but I enjoyed hearing Chris Hayes say this last night.
This morning, in what was, I mean, even by the standards of our era, a truly bizarre moment, Trump posted a transcription on Twitter of a quote from an infamous right-wing crackpot conspiracy theorist who claimed that Jews in Israel love Trump, and I'm quoting here, like he's the king of Israel, they love him like he is the second coming of God. There was no first coming for the Jews. That's the point. That's kind of the whole thing. After that, whether intentional or not, Trump finished his morning by grumpily yelling at the White House hedges along with the assembled press corps about a trade war he's trying to distance himself from, and he looked up at the sky and declared the following.
So somebody, excuse me, somebody excuse had to me. Do it. I am the chosen one.
Yeah. So, yeah. And as I think Chris Hayes said in that club, sorry, I'm a little distracted. There is no second coming of God. I can't believe it's me, the atheist Jew, saying this. Donald Trump, you fucking idiot. Jews don't believe that a Messiah ever arrived. We're still waiting for that to happen. And as evidence that we've had no Messiah, you're in the fucking White House. Oh, my God. Okay. So, with no further ado, I don't know about you, but I'm ready for my Dirty Debbie.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acidic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
We love Thursdays around here because we get to hang out with Howie Klein. Hey, Howie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I just, you know, as I said in my news report, just when you think we've hit rock bottom, like Trump emerges with another message from further down below. I mean, it's like there's these plumbing new depths every day, new depths of insanity. It's just amazing. From wanting to buy Greenland to, you know, canceling his trip to Denmark because they won't sell him Greenland to, you know, saying that he's the chosen one. I don't know what else there is to say about him. I'm amazed we're still here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I noticed today when I was walking around, I heard about someone from the National Security Council resigning because of this kind of thing, of Trump's insanity. I didn't get a chance to read the story yet, but I did notice it.
Well, that makes sense, and I would think more people would resign, and it's kind of a like a mixed blessing, as it were. I mean, look, anybody he had who was credible in the administration when he began, they're all gone now. So there's nobody trustworthy left. We used to say, well, Mattis, at least he's a career guy, he's not going to do anything like off the hook insane. It's a few other people sort of had that aura about them, but all those people are now gone, and we're left with the crazies. It's the inmates running the asylum. So there's,
right, plus he's brought in even crazier people who don't have to get approved by the Senate because they're not actually secretary of anything.
Right.
They're acting.
Yes.
So people who are acting don't have to be don't have to go through any kind of process. So he's bringing in really, really dangerous people who probably couldn't get Senate confirmation, even this Senate run by Mitch McConnell and dominated by right-wing Republicans.
It's frightening. So these are people who, just like the judges he's appointing to the bench, and for some reason the Democrats are allowing to sail through, he's putting lifetime appointments on the federal bench of people who have never even tried a case. He's putting on the federal bench as a judge for life, and the Democrats are letting them get away with it. The Democrats effectively held up Obama from appointing any judges. Are the Republicans able to do that because Mitch McConnell changed the filibuster rules on judicial appointments? Or I thought Obama did
that. Even when you get Democrats united and every one of them voting against some of these extreme cases, they can't stop it.
Unbelievable.
I mean, there's nothing that they can do about it.
It's just reprehensible that the Democrats were, I think, negligent enough to let it get to this point, and that nobody has been sounding the fire alarms about it. Because even if, and I better happen, we get a Democrat back in the White House in 2020 and take back control of the Senate, they've still changed the courts, moved them so far to the right for at least the next generation. Because, again, these are lifetime appointments.
Yeah, well, there, as you know, there have been some ideas floated that might possibly be able to help this. I don't know that any of them are going to actually work, but there have been a few things that are possible to work, that could work, like increasing the number of Supreme Court judges. Yep. There's nothing in this. I mean, the number of Supreme Court judges has gone up and down over the decades. And, you know, they can add a couple of more in, and then Bernie could appoint, people who are more in touch with reality than the garbage that Trump has put in.
That would be
nice. But, you know, and there are others have come up. Bernie, in fact, came up with a different idea, which is to, and I don't know if this could work either, which would be to rotate judges out of one job into another job every now and then. I didn't exactly get that, as a matter of fact. I didn't quite understand it. But, you're right. It's a danger. That's really what it comes down to.
It is. It is. And with each passing day, when they put more judges in or appoint more people or put someone else who's not qualified in a position of power, things get more dangerous, which is why, obviously, 2020 is so important. We were talking earlier, the 25th Amendment, which seems more and more reasonable as a way to go to get this guy out of there, will never happen because of the way the 25th Amendment works. Trump could say no. And basically it stops. And without a veto-proof majority in Congress, which, you know, we don't have, what he says goes. So he can shut down. He could say, I'm not unable to discharge my duties as president. You're crazy. I'm taking my job back and it's over. So, realistically, we need to hold impeachment hearings and we need to vote him out of office in 2020, which is I think what we're all heading towards. But I think the reality is, you know, Donald Trump is lying as he does, as easily as he breathes, about everything. He's still trying to put it out there that, you know, his numbers are the best ever. I mean, his gaslighting is just in fine form. But the reality is polls are starting to show that Donald Trump is kind of in danger, his victory may not be as easy as some imagined it would be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm nervous about those polls, of course.
Yep.
Because you don't know what they're going to do to get around them. That's part of the problem.
Right. What kind of tricks are they going to pull? Because you know they're not above that. So in the meantime, we look forward to the other elections and trying to do the business of the country as we go along. You have a couple of posts going up today at downwithtyranny.com, Howie, that you sent me. One of them is about bipartisanship. Bipartisanship, when I was younger, used to actually occur in nature. It really doesn't anymore. You talk about Republican Peter King of Long Island signed on as the first Republican co-sponsor of the bill to ban assault weapons. Republican to do so. But that's all it takes for them to be able to say, oh, it's a bipartisan bill. We have a Republican on it.
Right, and though there are other Republicans, at least a few, like about a half dozen, who have said they'll vote for it, but they didn't sign on, at least not yet, as co-sponsors.
Okay.
So it will be a no one ever doubted it would be a bipartisan bill. The other person I mentioned, although I didn't feel that, I'm still writing that piece, is Ro Khanna, who worked with a really really extremist right winger. From Florida, Matt Gaetz.
Oh, yes.
on a bill to prevent Trump from just, you know, going and starting a war with Iran on his own. And that worked. I mean, they did get that through. So there is some bipartisanship, not like we would like to see and not the kind we would like to see. But, I mean, a lot of our favorite candidates at Blue America that we've endorsed over the years have been in the state legislature of their states, And they learned the way Ted Lieu did, for example, here in California, or Pramila Jayapal in Washington State. They learned how to work across the aisle to get Republicans to back things that would be helpful to everybody's constituents. So things that really were not real, real partisan kinds of things. And they were able to convince people to, hey, you know, come on board for this thing. And it worked out. So that, you know, it's a real skill. It's not easy to do. There are a few people that can do that. There are very few who can do that. But Ted and Pramila are two examples. They're not the only ones, but they were two examples of people who were able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Grayson,
yes,
how excited he always was that he wound up passing more legislation in a Republican-dominated Congress than any other member of Congress.
I remember that.
Because he was able to, you know, get Republicans on board with some of the things he wanted to do. Now, the difference between that and what the Blue Dogs do is that, you know, if you have something, you know, I don't consider it bipartisan when you take some kind of right-wing Republican talking point and make it into a bill and then co-sponsor it with a Republican. And that of course, is the purpose of the story that I wrote that is going to run later today, which is, you know, two right-wing Texans got together. One of them is a so-called Democrat, although he's really a Blue Dog, and he wasn't even a Democrat when he was in the state legislature, Henry Cuellar.
Wow.
So he was a right-winger in the state legislature who, at the time, when George Bush was the governor of Texas, this guy was considered Bush's closest Democratic ally. Bush used to drive, fly him around the state and hold him up as an example of bipartisanship. See, I'm working with the Democrats.
Right.
And that guy wasn't a Democrat then, and he's not a Democrat now. He's just a real Republican light Blue Dog. I don't know how light that he is. He's a Blue Dog who's one of the worst. And he got together with Michael McCaul, a right-wing Republican and a Trump apologist and enabler, and they put together a bill, and they're running around and saying, hey, we got bipartisan. And it's really a very, very unconstitutional bill that, you know, talks about terrorism, where, you know, how they're saying, like, you know, we're going to stop terrorism with this bill. And when you get into the bill itself and you look at it more closely, you realize that it's not really about terrorism per se. It's about changing definitions of what can be included as terrorism. Like right now, we're all seeing this incredible uprising in Hong Kong, where people are looking for looking, you know, to expand democracy there and to save the bit of democracy that they still have. And, you know, the Chinese government immediately labels them as terrorists. So it's a dangerous thing when you do that. And really, what Cuellar and McCaul are doing is trying to say that terrorism now includes conspiring to harm property, specifically property that has to do with conveyance. And what they're doing is they're defining oil pipelines and gas pipelines. So this is something that the pipeline industry has been asking for. They've been asking, you know, their allies like Cuellar and McCaul to do something for them, so that when people protest against pipelines, they can the people who do the protesting can get very, very, very seriously in trouble. That's what the companies wanted, and McCaul was just waiting for an opportunity, and he found the opportunity, you know, trying to say this is, you know, putting it into a terrorism bill. That's what he's trying to do. It, more than anything else, that bill goes after pipeline protesters. That's what it's all about. Now, there are a lot of other really bad things in the bill. It's a terrible bill. I don't believe it could pass, although I'm sure Trump would love to sign it. But it's too awful for it to pass. But they're running around and getting a bunch of conservative Democrats and every Republican, but a bunch of conservative Democrats to say, yeah, this looks good to me. Let's wait till after the election because it could harm my chances if I sign on now. But I'll work with you later.
You know,
that's what Blue Dogs is saying.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about Lee Fong before, who these days writes for The Intercept. He has a great piece up just from a few days ago. The headline reads, "Oil Lobbyist Touts Success in Effort to Criminalize Pipeline Protests." Leaked recording shows. So this is a story. That, and so, yeah, they're trying to make right, protesting.
I cite that article by Lou as well and have a link to it.
Oh, great. Yeah, so, you know, this is insane. Oh, and that's not, you know, so this is what they tout as bipartisan anytime you get somebody on... you know, a bill that, and it could be one of the worst Democrats in the House, like Henry Cuellar. It doesn't matter, but there's a Democrat and a Republican on it. It's bipartisan. So as you say, exactly. Rightfully,
and that's common. That's yeah. Not uncommon. They do that a lot. And to be honest, I mean, you know, there are a couple of decent Republicans who, you know, when the Democrats have a bill, they can go to them and they say, hey, you know, this is something that's really good for your constituents, why don't you sign on to this?
Right.
So a guy like Brian Fitzpatrick in the suburbs of Philadelphia, you know, right now, you know, he hasn't signed on as a co-sponsor yet, but nobody thinks he's not going to vote for the assault weapons ban. David Cicilline has an assault weapons ban that Pelosi is trying to kill.
Oh.
And it's in committee, and it's just sitting there, and nothing's happening with it. And now, you know, the Judiciary Committee says, "Well, we'll get to it in about a month." And what Pelosi wants pushed instead is this toothless, you know, silly, ineffectual background checks bill. Now, I'm not saying that it shouldn't be passed, but it's like, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's like a 1 or a 2.
Right.
It doesn't do much.
No.
Whereas the assault weapons ban, the sale of assault weapons ban. That would be up there like a 7 or an 8. That would really mean something. And she doesn't want that. She wants the thing that doesn't mean anything. That would be compromised away by Trump and the Senate. And then Pelosi would say, well, this is all we could get. And even if they got everything they're asking for, it's not much. You know, it's a little something. I'm not saying it's bad. It's a little something. That's what it is, a little something. We have this gigantic problem of you know, thousands of people being killed by because of guns.
Yep.
And they come up with some little tiny thing instead of the big deal, which she's afraid of. She doesn't want to do it. That's the problem with this big tent idea of hers, is that you wind up being, you know, having all your hands and feet and limbs and everything tied so you can't move. Because if you do, you know, some right-wing Democrat's liable to lose his or her seat. So they do nothing.
Wow. Yeah, there's politics for you. By the way, not last Friday, but the Friday before, I had Shahid Buttar on the program. He's the guy who's primarying Nancy Pelosi. And boy, is he impressive. Have you spoken with him?
He is.
He's great.
Oh, many, many times. In fact, although not Blue America, but I have a separate little thing for Down With Tyranny, a separate little pack. And I endorsed him on my own.
He's great. I was so impressed with him. A quick question for you out of the YouTube chat room,
one
Howard Klein.
You move away from Shahid. I just want to mention one thing. Last night, you know how there's all this news about how Trump assigns himself medals, and he was talking the other day about giving himself the Medal of Honor, and they told him he couldn't do that, but he wanted to.
Yep.
Right. So Pelosi did something like that last night. She gave herself, although officially it's the Democratic Party of San Francisco, which she controls.
Right.
They gave her a Lifetime Achievement Award. I mean, it's a joke. So they're at the Intercontinental Hotel, and you know, she's basking in the glory and smiling and drooling like some kind of an imbecile. And suddenly the whole thing goes up in smoke.
Started protest. I already did that. I talked about that earlier. How this protester stood up and were imploring her to start impeaching this idiot in the White House who needs to be, you know, removed.
The language, though, obviously it was about impeachment, but some of the language that they were using comes straight from the Green New Deal activists. Hmm. So I was wondering, as I was reading the story, if it wasn't more than just impeachment, because that whole thing, if we can't wait, unless I'm wrong there, I think that's the Green New Deal.
Right,
thing.
And it's the same people who were at the DNC Resolutions Committee meeting today, where the committee voted against a climate debate, and all these protesters stood up and started singing, "Which Side Are You On?" And unfurling banners that said, you know, "We can't wait." So I'm thinking a lot of the same people who were, you know, who were there for the DNC thing this morning were at the Nancy Pelosi thing last night. I could be wrong, but it just seems that.
No, it's more likely that you're right, and if not people, certainly goals and ideas. So it wasn't. It's not just one issue, but it's a whole bunch of issues of why isn't the Democratic Party working on our side?
Right.
And certainly, you know, Pelosi is slow walking everything, and accomplishing nothing. I mean, she sure was fast in getting what was that craziness that she got done of not being able to spend any money unless you find an offset. I can't even remember what the
PAYGO.
Yeah, right. She was real fast in getting that done.
Yeah.
But everything else is will never get done until she is thrown out of office.
Yep.
The people of San Francisco are going to never throw her out. So it's going to have to be Congress that gets rid of her. And until they get rid of her as Speaker, nothing is going to get done of any significance. And she'll spend her whole life on talking about how much she's gotten done. But, you know, I'm finding she's more and more like Trump by the day.
Yeah.
She does the same bullshit that he does.
Yep. I agree. And it's all CYA. It's all cover your ass, because she's more concerned about her, you know, legacy, I guess, than doing the right thing by the American people. It's really kind of fucked up. And like the whole the DNC led by Tom Perez, I started the show by saying I believe the Democratic Party is bound and determined to alienate all of the progressive activists working so hard to change things for the better. Tom Perez and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, they just want to keep the status quo. They're like Joe Biden.
Yep.
And got all these people.
The Broward County Democrats down there? Did you read about that?
Oh, my God. I did. You want to talk about this? Because I'm just so angry. It blows my mind. Basically, the Broward County Democrats with Debbie Wasserman Schultz and former state people like Steve Geller, they're basically saying, we need Joe Biden. We need to nominate the boring conservadem, because that's the only way we'll win. Sorry, that's not what Florida progressive
thinks. I mean, they go
as
far as saying that they'd rather have Steve Bullock.
Yeah.
Or
John Delaney. Any of one of them. Right?
They'd rather have one of them than Bernie or Elizabeth Warren. Their thing is literally said that Bernie and Elizabeth Warren can't win, but Steve Bullock can.
Yeah.
Even when someone points out that Steve Bullock is like a 0.2 in the polls, and Bernie is in some polls beating Biden, and they say, things can change.
Yeah. It defies logic.
You know, Steve Geller, I'm so embarrassed of that guy. That at one time I used to talk to him, I used to think highly of him. I just didn't know any better.
Of who?
This is over a decade ago. I learned my lesson. But he's the head of this committee, and they are, you know, basically the name of the committee should be anybody but Bernie or Elizabeth.
Right.
That is really what it's all about. That's the only thing it's about. They're basically saying they are for anybody but Bernie or Elizabeth Warren. And this is all about Debbie Wasserman Schultz and her cronies.
Right. Now, who is the person who you said who heads this committee?
Steve Geller.
Oh, Steve Geller, who I used to interview when I was doing mornings on WINZ here in Miami when he was in the state legislature. He was always on the conservative side and always a bit of a jerk, but this takes the cake. This is ridiculous. I honestly didn't even know he was still active, because I don't get involved in local politics because it's Florida. The people have their heads up their asses.
He's the Broward County Commissioner now. That's his thing.
Oh, God. I should have him on the show just to yell at him.
That would be great.
Yeah.
This thing just happened today, and this is a good time to bring him on. I have a post. I don't even know when it's going up, but I wrote a post. It's finished, and so either today or tomorrow, this thing is going up.
Oh,
it would be a great time to have Geller on the
show. I will reach out to him. I'm sure he remembers me, because I used to give him a hard time, 10 years ago, 12 years ago. Anyway, yeah, so we'll do that. Yeah, it's Florida. Florida does everything back asswards. It's just, it's typical. The one other, you have another post going up at some point today about Trump's legacy. And the headline, as you have it now, says, "Not a wall, not Greenland, all Americans killed with assault weapons while he filleted Wayne." that's one way to put it.
Right. And that pretty much says it all. I mean, that's what it's about. He's suddenly he doesn't even call him Wayne LaPierre.
Right.
He's talking to the nation, and he's referring to the clown who is stealing money from the NRA, the head of the NRA, who's stealing immense amounts of money from the organization for a lavish lifestyle, and he keeps calling him Wayne, as though, you know, well, we've got to ask the Senate, we've got to ask the House, and we've got to ask Wayne.
Right.
What?
Yeah. And this is the guy who immediately following the shooting, oh, we're going to do this. And, you know, people are so afraid of the NRA. And he has one conversation with Wayne LaPierre. And he says, our background checks are fine. We have mental health problems. Well, you have mental health problems. Here.
We have great mental illness.
We have great mental illness is what he said.
I love that one. I was actually listening when he said that. I was putting my socks on. I couldn't wait to run downstairs and tweet about it. We have great mental health.
Right. That's why. Great mental illness. That's why I had to pull the clip.
Yes.
I have a whole bunch of things that he has said that deserve to go down in the annals of history, from we have great mental illness to, you know, I am the chosen one to...
You're seeing and what you're reading is not... what's happening.
Yeah, what you're seeing and what you're reading is not what's happening. I've got tons of them. It'll be much funnier once we get him out of office and we can, you know, have fun at his expense a little more.
Yes.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so too. We could use a couple of slow days.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, that's one thing that Biden will be good at. Lots and lots and lots of slow days.
God.
Do you remember who Nancy Ohanian is, the artist?
No. Oh, is she the one who did your cards?
She does a lot of the artwork on Down with Tyranny.
Gotcha.
And she just won the National Press Association just gave her the award for Best Political Cartoonist of the Year.
Oh, nice.
And she sent me a bunch of artwork, the kind of stuff I use on my blog, like, you know, and they're cartoons. But, you know, one that she sent me a few of was Rashida Tlaib. Mm-hmm. Another one is AOC. And one is Alan Grayson. Uh-huh. One is Ted Lieu. So that kind of stuff. And then there's lots of Trump stuff as well. So I was wondering, is that the kind of thing that we could give away as a prize on your show?
Sure. Yeah.
And but since it's not TV, how do we show it?
Well, we do. We're on YouTube. Yeah, I just put a picture of you up during it. But we are on YouTube, and I have the website where the show is posted, so we could put up photos there as well.
Okay, so I'm gonna email me where to send them, and I'll send you a selection of them, and then we should come up with a contest. You know, maybe not this week or next week, but you know, we'll come up with a contest, and then we'll give some of these things away to some of hopefully to some of the longtime listeners who hear us talking every week.
I love it. I think that's a great idea. All right, let's do it. I will email you as soon as we're done. Howie Klein, find him, of course, at downwithtyranny.com and the Blue America Pack. Excuse me. I always put a link up to Blue America on the blog with the podcast. But at Down with Tyranny, there'll be a thermometer there. You can click on that and donate to some of the candidates who Blue America has endorsed and help get real progressives elected to Congress so we can get rid of Nancy Pelosi and change things, finally. All right. Howie Klein, as always, thank you. I'll email you in a few minutes, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, and with that, we're done. Tomorrow on the program, the wonderful journalist Matt Taibbi, who these days writes so eloquently for Rolling Stone, Matt Taibbi will be our guest to wrap up this week. As always, thank you for listening, and keep the faith, baby. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye.